This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد Alhamdulillah, this is hadith number 6 in the series of hadiths on the purification of the heart and edification of the soul. إصلاح القلوب وتزكية النفس. And in this hadith, as we will see inshaAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is redefining a category that all of us are familiar with, which is the category of who is rich and who is poor. And is telling us here, according to that redefinition, that the way that we react to the outside world and what we seek, how it influences us, depends on what type of heart we have. So inshallah, without further ado, let me read the hadith first, as always in Arabic, and then read the translation, and then go and explain it, inshallah, in some detail. So here, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أبا ذر أترى أن كثرة المال هو الغنى إنما الغنى غنى القلب والفقر فقر القلب من كان الغنى في قلبه فلا يضره ما لقي من الدنيا ومن كان الفقر في قلبه فلا يغنيه ما أكثر له من الدنيا وإنما يضر نفسه شحها. So here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is speaking to his companion Abu Dharr, and he says, Abu Dharr, do you suppose that abundance of wealth is affluence? Do you suppose that abundance, having a lot of money, is what it means to be rich? That's what he's saying. He says, affluence or being rich is the richness of the heart. And poverty is the poverty of the heart. The one who's rich in heart will not be harmed by whatever he faces in this world. Again, the one who's rich in heart is not going to be harmed by what they face in this world. And the one who is poor in heart will not be enriched by how much they acquire of this world. By how much they get, it's not going to help them. What harms his self is its shuh. And we can translate that as avarice or greed. So here, as we see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking to Abu Dharr, and Abu Dharr is one of the companions who was well known for his zuhd, detachment from the dunya. Right? He did not want it. He did not seek it. He was renowned for that. So here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about him, instructing him, and us also, by extension. How do you define and how do you understand who's rich and who is poor? So when you look, and the hadith has a continuation, inshallah, that we'll come to, inshallah, in time. When you look at someone or something, do you look at how much they possess of wealth, of material gain? That is the superficial, the external possession that they have. You look at that and you say that that person or this thing is rich. It could be a country. That's how we also classify countries. This country has money, that means this is a rich country. This country doesn't have money. This is a poor country. The same thing with people or with families or with neighborhood or cities. This person doesn't have money. So he is a poor person. And this person possesses a lot of money. Then that's a rich and affluent person, an affluent neighborhood. So he says, is this how you define it? He says, this is not its definition. Its definition is, you look inside the heart and then the faqr al-qalb, poverty of the heart, or ghina al-qalb, richness of the heart, that's how you define an individual as being poor or rich. Not by any external yardstick or measure, but by that internal yardstick of how much he has or she has in their heart. That's how you define a person. And When you look, let's talk first about that poverty, al-faqr, and what it means. You look at us humans, and you'll find that we are living in constant poverty. Translate poverty as need. Poverty equals need. As long as you need something, your relationship to it is a relationship of poverty, of dependence. That's what poverty is. So you'll find that physically, we are extremely dependent. We're not self-sufficient. Who's the only person or the only one who is self-sufficient? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean that He is self-sufficient? Doesn't need anyone. Does not depend on anyone. We, on the other hand, every second of every day, we need something. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we may not realize it, but Allah makes us realize it by the fact that we have to breathe. If we can't breathe, we die. Right? We have to eat. If we don't eat, we die. We need protection from illness and disease. If not, then we die. We need others, other people to help us. So we always have this external need. That is a poverty, because it's need. As long as you need something, you're dependent on it, your relationship to it is a relationship of poverty and dependence. Now, good. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. O people, you are the one who are poor when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Translate that as, you're the one who always need Allah. Your relationship with Allah is that you're always in need of Him. So you are fuqara to Allah. With Allah you are fuqara. Allah on the other hand is al-ghaniyyu al-hamid. The rich. Right? As Allah says in so many other ayat, إِيَّشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. If He wishes, He can just remove you. All of you. Right? All of you could die and He will bring another type of creation. مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقِ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَن يُطْعِمُونَ. I don't want them to sustain me. I don't want them to feed me. So He's saying continuously, I don't need you. He's saying in the Hadith Qudusi, right? You will never reach the level where you will be able to benefit me. Nor will you, all of you, reach the level where you be able to harm me. So Allah exists beyond, right, anything that we can give. So Allah doesn't have a need. We, on the other hand, Allah is saying, "Antumul fuqara," and this is eternal, right? Permanent poverty. That doesn't go away. It never goes away. On this earth, when we die, when we are in Jannah, it never goes away. So any creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dependent on Allah. So has this faqr as a characteristic of its existence. Right? Now, as we need Allah, who's the one who had given us physical life? Allah. Who's the one who nourishes us physically? Allah. Protects us from harm physically? Allah. Now, who's the one who gives us spiritual life? In a similar way, it's only Allah. It's not only the physical part. It's not only physically I need Allah, but spiritually not. No, internally and externally, you're coming from the same source. You don't have two creators. It's the same creator. And as physically, and Allah had made this a sign for that. Made dependence here a sign for your dependence elsewhere. So as you need Him physically, you need Him spiritually. As you need Him on the outside, you need Him on the inside. As you are faqir, poor on the outside, you're also faqir and poor on the inside. And your life on the outside is given by Allah. The life of your heart is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. O you who have iman, respond to Allah and to the Messenger when He asks you to do what gives you life. دَعَاكُمْ calls you to what gives life to you. What is the thing that gives you life? The Qur'an and the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeying Him. So Allah describes that as the thing that gives you right life. So real life inside the heart can only be supplied by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is true life because it's a comfortable type of life. It's a relaxed type of life. It's a life that fulfills our needs on the inside. And any type of life that does not have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it is a type of life that is incomplete. Or as we described it, the heart actually might be dead. It doesn't feel its death, but in fact could be dead. And the only thing that could enliven it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His guidance. Now the hadith is talking about a different type of poverty than the poverty than the ayah that I quoted is talking about. The ayah that says, أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. You are the ones who are poor in relation to Allah. The hadith is talking about a type of poverty that can go away, not an eternal type of poverty. Because he says, if you have poverty of the heart, it is this, this, this. But if you have richness of the heart, means that the type of poverty that the Prophet ﷺ is talking about can go away. The poverty that Allah is talking about, that's eternal. There are two types of poverties. So the one that Allah is talking about is your dependence on Allah. That never goes away. That's the eternal one. The poverty that Allah, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about is when the heart is empty of Allah. When Allah is absent. And when Allah is absent, then the heart is poor. But that could be fixed and can be remedied. Can be fixed by bringing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into the heart again. By knowing Allah. And by acting upon that knowledge. So here I'm defining that type of poverty that we may have. What is faqrul qalb? The need of the heart. How is the heart needy? The heart will be in need or will suffer from that poverty if it, A, it doesn't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or its knowledge of Allah is incomplete or distorted. Right? Or it has knowledge of Allah, but it fails to act upon that knowledge. It knows Allah, but it fails to act upon that knowledge. It doesn't love Allah, or love for the sake of Allah. It doesn't fear Allah. It doesn't trust Him. It doesn't have dependence on Him. No tawakkul. So it fails to act upon that knowledge, then it fails to taste the sweetness of that knowledge. So it remains still empty. So either a person doesn't know Allah, and if you don't know Allah, how can you seek Him? And how can you have Him in your heart? How can you want Him in your heart if you don't know who Allah is? Or you know, you have that knowledge, but at the same time, you have failed to appreciate it. So you keep looking for something else. And this is because the heart, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it, is always in need. And that's the meaning of poverty. Take the example of physical dependence. If you don't feed us, what do? We starve, right? And if you're hungry, what do? You go looking for food. You go looking everywhere. There's a need. And it needs to be satisfied. It has to be satisfied. If you're thirsty, it's the same thing. You will go and look for it and you will keep looking for it until you find it. Now sometimes you find something that is really good for you and you will take it. And it will quench your thirst and nourish your body. And sometimes you'll find something that is bad for you, but you think it's good. And you will take it in. It will harm you in the long or short term. But either way, you're seeking something because something is missing on the inside. The poverty of the heart is exactly the same. The heart needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it doesn't know Allah, or has not yet grown to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it still has that emptiness inside. It is starving, or it is thirsty, so it will go and look for something. Always will look for something. And will try to fill that emptiness and void inside with whatever it can find. And that could be money, right? Or that could be status and fame. Or that could be a position, a profession. Or it could be family. Whatever you immerse yourself in, because we believe that these things bring happiness to us. And I feel an emptiness and I need to fill it. I have a need. So what do I fill this need with? I'm going to try money and maybe a promotion and maybe a bigger car and maybe a bigger house and this. That is bringing me some joy. So maybe this is what my heart needs. But for some other people, it's not that, or it's not enough. So maybe fame, I want to be famous. And a lot of people, you know, in today's world, they want to be famous in whatever way possible. Because they think that's where their happiness lies. Right? Whether it's fame or infamy. Well, it doesn't really matter. Whether it's dignified or indignified, it doesn't really, as long as people know me and recognize me and praise me, or even if they criticize me, though no publicity is bad publicity, right? As long as people know me. So this is good. I want this. I need this. Or of course family, right? Maybe I can fill this emptiness with family. I will have children. I will be busy with them. I will have a wife. I will have a husband. I will be busy with that. So all of these things are attempts to fill our heart. The problem is that our heart is not designed to be only satisfied with these things. It can never be fully satisfied with these things. Why is that? Because we are looking for the permanent. Whatever thing you hold on to or you try to hold on to, when you discover or you really realize that you're going to lose it, it spoils or takes all the joy of that thing away. Because we're not looking for something that we're going to lose later. It's too painful. I'm looking, if you think about it, you're really looking for something permanent. That something permanent that will never change, that will never leave, will always be there for me. So anything that I'm getting, when I know or when someone tells me that I'm going to lose it, that it's impermanent and I am impermanent, it takes that joy away. So that's one problem with everything else that we try to fill our hearts with. The other thing is that whatever we try to put in our hearts other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't really satisfy us on all levels. It satisfies us on some levels, but not on all the levels, right? Not on the intellectual level and the emotional level, right? Internally and externally. It doesn't answer all of our questions. We're looking for, really deep inside, we're looking for that overwhelming love that we can find security with. We're looking for perfection. At the same time, we're looking for acceptance of our own weaknesses. And that is really ironic when it comes to humans, right? When we look, we want perfection in the things that we're looking for. We're disappointed by imperfection. At the same time, we want people to accept us the way we are. Appreciate us the way we are. At least that's how it's, you know, in the West. Take me the way that I am. But also we're looking for perfection. And it doesn't work. And when you even throw yourself into human love, what happens is that you always are met with, for most of the time, with disappointment. You hear the stories of people who loved, and really that intense love, because that's what people are looking for. That intense type of love. And when they give themselves to another human internally, wholeheartedly, to another human, what happens is that they always tend up to be disappointed. Because the nature of human love is that it's not stable. I love you today, but I hate you tomorrow. Right? There is jealousy, there is betrayal, there is fizzling emotions. I have changed, I don't love you anymore. Or I don't love you the way or how much you love me. So there's always a disappointment when it comes to human love. So we keep looking, right? And we drown ourselves with other things in life. Just to forget about the heart asking us, those things that you have chosen are not enough for me. Keep looking. And the thing that we are looking for is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He's the permanent who never changes, right? Never goes away. And He's the one who can answer all of our questions. So will I lose Him? No, you will not lose Him. Will He accept me though I am weak and flawed? Yes, He will, as long as you go back to Him. As long as you repent, as long as you ask Him. Yes, He will accept you. Will He protect me? Yes, He will protect me. Will I suffer? You know you will not suffer. So all of our anxieties are answered when we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No other human can provide that. No other material possession can provide that. So our hearts will continuously be in that type of poverty unless they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have Allah inside. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, it doesn't matter how much you give him of the dunya if his heart is poor. If my heart is poor, it doesn't matter how much you gather of the dunya to give to me and to feed me, I'll always want more. They say that if you give the son of Adam this entire earth but a penny, he will want that penny. It's not enough. And I'm going to add to it, I say, if you give him this entire earth, he will start looking at the moon and the stars and say, I want these too. Because that thing is not enough. It's never enough. Right? It's like a black hole. It keeps swallowing and it wants more and more and more. And it's never enough. Now, there are some commonalities between physical poverty and spiritual poverty. The physically poor, the materially poor, the one who doesn't own money, right? Usually what he possesses is inferior, right? Is of lower quality. And a lot of his needs or her needs, they go unmet. And that brings sorrow, right? And sadness. And your expectations for the future also are not going to be met, most probably, if you don't have the money to finance whatever you want. And a person who is poor, really, you have to also understand that the person who is in need will always look for things that will satisfy that need. So frantically looking for this job and that job, right? This dollar and that dollar. So always on the search for a solution. And does not have extra to help others with. So no extra money. So I can't help any other person. I can't even satisfy myself. Spiritual poverty is the same. One, inferior possessions, that what the heart possesses is of lesser qualities. The emotions of the heart, the intentions of the heart, right? The emotions, the intentions, the life of the heart is always of inferior quality. That type of heart is typically greedy or jealous or envious, unhappy with what it has, angry with other people around it because they have something that he doesn't have. They possess what he does not possess. So, sort of, if you think of that heart as possessing furniture inside, that furniture is of the lowest quality. The emotions of the lowest emotions. The intentions are not godly intentions or heavenly intentions. They're always earthly intentions. I only want to do this. I only want to win that person. I only want to earn more money. Those are the intentions. It's not noble intentions. So it's inferior in that regard. Second, the needs also never go met, as I've just said. I need to be happy. Never find happiness, no matter what you earn. Right? Especially, subhanAllah, for the big things that you plan for. The big moments in life. You know, if someone is looking for his and her graduation, maybe, or, you know, the first job, or the first promotion, or the first house, and he or she thinks, once I get this thing, I will be happy. And you work so hard for it. And the problem is that we really invest that moment with a lot of happiness. Yes, I will be happy and my problems will be solved and I'm not going to be thinking and I'll be a new person and all my anxieties and all the bad things in my heart are going to go away. So you invest it with all of that. Up until the time when you come to it and it actually happens and you find that it was a great disappointment. Okay, I've graduated now. Now what? I thought I was going to really be happy when this happens. But it's not what I thought it's going to be. Here I have, you know, my first house or my first child or, and all these things. Yes, there's some happiness, but it's not what we have thought it's going to be. So the heart that's always looking, right, has all of these needs And like the physically poor, the spiritually poor, these needs go unmet. And if these current needs go unmet, it's very likely that the future needs also are going to be unmet. So this person talks to himself and he says, if I'm miserable now, how is it going to be later when I'm older, when I'm alone? More miserable. So there's also increased tension and increased anxiety. Again, it's because there's nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in sight. So you keep looking and you keep looking and you keep missing. And you keep missing. You know, it's that the thing that is going to make me happy. And we always think it's this thing. And it turns out to be a disappointment and so on and so on and so on. Because we keep missing the thing, the biggest thing, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the one who's materially poor will go from one thing to the other frantically, maybe sometimes looking for a solution, so is the person who is spiritually poor will try everything, right? Will try everything. There is a new relaxation technique, I will try that. There is new meditation, I will try that. There is, you know, new insight, I will try that. There is spending money, spending more money, right? I think that a lot of people who become famous and they have all of these tattoos and piercings on their body, that's a type of trying to find happiness through something, changing something. You know, to the extent, you know, there are some people who just to feel something, they cut themselves. And this could be a psychological disorder, or it could be a need that just goes unmet, right? Life is very empty. So you just simply what? Cut yourself just to feel something, right? So this is a disease. This is a disease, and though it's prevalent among some non-Muslims, you know, it could be, and some Muslims could also suffer from it. Because when we don't have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts and in our minds, life seems very empty. You're going towards nothingness. You know, modern society, popular culture doesn't offer you anything of substance as a goal. Because everything is going to go away. It's just a distraction. Just keep doing this. Just keep doing this. Don't think about the big issues. Just keep doing this. Earn more, earn more. Watch this, watch this, watch this. Buy this, buy this, buy this. Right? They don't want you to sit alone with yourself and think. They want to distract you all the time. Right? There was a comment on Facebook that it said that a lot of people don't like to be alone and sit just by themselves, right? Just by themselves alone with their own thoughts. You think that's true for a lot of people? You just can't be alone with yourself, right? Well, I mean, I don't recall exactly the experiment, but I'll share with you what I remember of it. They had an experiment where they ask people, psychological experiment, where they ask people, he said, you're gonna sit in a room for 15 minutes. You can't do anything else. You don't have anything else with you, and you can't engage in any activity. You just have to sit. Right? The only thing that you have in that room is that you are hooked up to a machine, and you can administer an electric shock to yourself. If you wish. That's the only thing that you can do. Otherwise, for 15 minutes, you have to stay with your thoughts. Right? They said when it came to men, more than 50% of men chose to electrocute themselves. At least once. Rather than be alone with their thoughts for 15 minutes. It was lower with women. But more than 50% of men. Right? It is very, very difficult, right? To stay alone with your thoughts. Because we have been trained to stay alone with our thoughts. And because they usually go towards the dark places. That's why they don't want to even think about it. But a person who contemplates, reflects upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keeps thinking about it, engages in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't mind being alone. In fact, you know, some of the Salaf, right? They used to run away from people so that they can be alone. Which is the opposite. Right? Not because they have their phones and, you know, they're sitting next to you and they don't want to even, you know, acknowledge you and they're just on their phone. They're living in the virtual world, right? They're living in Facebook and on Twitter. That's where they're living. They don't care about you. It's not that. No, they want it to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or they wanted to be with the stories of the Salaf. You saw Abdullah ibn Mubarak, and famously when he was asked, "You don't stay with us. You don't, you know, spend time with us." The people, they're talking to him. You're always alone. Why? He says, you're just backbiting people. That's what you're doing. And how can I be alone or lonely when I'm sitting with the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That's what I'm spending my time with, reading about them. So I'm never lonely. So I'm choosing their company over your company. And that makes sense. But that is a person who has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart, so he can do that. But the poor heart, on the other hand, can never do that, can never stomach that, can never tolerate it. Because it's empty. How can you ask an empty heart to be with itself? Just to acknowledge my emptiness? That's very difficult to acknowledge my emptiness. To be face to face with it and say, I have nothing. So popular culture and the modern world, right, is just pushing us towards nothingness. There's nothing for you. Just work, work, work for, you know, for the sake of what? The economy. That's it. But there's nothing for you. And it doesn't really answer any of the important questions that you're supposed to ask. And lastly, of course, the poor heart, because it's poor on the inside, can't help anybody else if it cannot help itself. The difference, of course, is that physical poverty, you can just eradicate that easily. Few dollars, right? And you're no longer poor anymore. Spiritual poverty, on the other hand, how can you eradicate that? There's only one thing that can eradicate that, and that is your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Material poverty, worst come to worst, you know, you live poor, you know, all your life, then you die. It ends. It ends. Spiritual poverty, a person lives poor in this life and lives poor in the next. And it never ends. So really, they're fundamentally different. Right? Now, richness of the heart or affluence of the heart, as the Prophet ﷺ referred to it, غِنَى الْقَلْبِ, means to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside in terms of knowledge, emotions and intentions. Meaning you know who Allah is. And the more you know, the better. And the more in detail it is, the better. That's why, you know, the more knowledge that you have, the more that your iman will increase. Right? So, knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in detail is in that heart. And then the heart also responds to it, acts based upon it, and loves Allah, fears Allah, trusts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does what it does for the sake of Allah, avoids what Allah hates. That's what the heart is. And this heart has found that particular peace that fills its void. And because the heart has found it, it's not looking anymore. And in so much as you have it, you will stop looking. Right? That's why the Prophet ﷺ says, it doesn't then matter what happens to that heart afterwards. فَلَا يَضُرُّهُ مَا لَقِيَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. It doesn't matter. The ups and downs of the dunya afterwards, they don't really matter. That person who has this rich heart can be poor. But that poverty doesn't harm him. He will be fine. Because though it could be a fitna, poverty could be a fitna, and it is a fitna, right? When you need something and you don't have it. But he's not looking. The eye of his heart, let's call it, it's not looking at what is happening around him. It's looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It understands whatever happens is happening by the permission of Allah. And Allah will take care of me. And my sustenance and provisions are guaranteed because Allah guaranteed them. And whatever Allah gives me, He gives it to me because He knows I need it. And whatever He takes away from me, He takes it away from me because He knows that I don't need it and it may harm me. So his heart is always looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything else happening around is incidental and unimportant. So money could come, money could go. Right? Recognition could come, recognition could go. And I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying this is easy. This is something that we strive for and we ask Allah for it. But it always stays there, right, as a goal that we want to achieve. You know, as something that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Don't make me a person who's poor at heart, but a person who's rich at heart, a person who's connected to you. So no matter what happens in this dunya, I feel certainty in your promise and that you are there for me. And if that happens, then there's nothing for me and you to worry about. And can you imagine, subhanAllah, a state where you can reach, where you can say, there's nothing in this world that you need to worry about. Done. I'm done. I'm not going to worry about anything in this dunya. Of course you're going to work. Of course you're going to study. Of course you're going to take care of your family. But you're doing this in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah commands this and loves it. Knowing fully that the results are not in your hands, but are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He's the one who does what He wants. So you do it and you leave the results to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you don't worry anymore about anything. That is the heart that is not in need of anyone else. Right? إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We're feeding you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not want you to reward us for anything or even thank us. It's nice to be thanked, right? When you do something nice. Right? It's nice to be thanked. And it doesn't mean here that you're not going to feel better when somebody thanks you, but you're not waiting for it. And you're not doing it for that. And it's not going to deter you from doing what is right because people are not thanking you. Because again, your heart is looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and anything that happens around is not important. And that is really a praiseworthy status that a person can reach if Allah allows us to reach it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inside. What will help us inshaAllah reach it is to know that, and this is really important, is to know that your worth is not tied, who you are and what defines you, is not tied to how much money you make. And it's not tied to your job. Right? So we have to sort of break these things apart. Right? Unjoin them. I am not defined by how much money I have. I am not defined by how people respect me or not based on my profession. What do you do? I do this. Oh. What do you do this? I am in this institution. Oh, then that's respect. I'm not defined by that. I'm not defined by their praise or by their criticism. Right? Here Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُعْطِي الْمَالَ مَنْ أَحَبَّ وَمَنْ لَا يُحِبْ وَلَا يُعْطِي الْإِيمَانَ إِلَّا مَنْ يُحِبْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give money to those whom He loves and to those whom He doesn't. And only gives iman to the people that He loves. So saying it really doesn't matter what your position is, what your title is, how much you have. If you feel that is that's what defines you, that's not what defines you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not a sign of Allah's favor, that He has given you money. Or for that country that Allah has given them money. That's not a sign of Allah's favor. Whether He likes you or He doesn't like you, He will give you money. Allah has a plan for why He had given you money. The only thing that is a sign of Allah's favor is iman. That's the thing that is supposed to define you. Then you want to really have a definition of yourself, see how much iman you have. That's the thing that really should matter. Money or not, position or not, people's praise or not, status, it doesn't really matter. And it's wonderful if we can actually reach a stage where I will say, I will only define myself and then others based on the iman that I have in my heart. And that is it. And I will not use any other criterion. See, in the continuation of that hadith that we just first read, where the Prophet ﷺ asked Abu Dharr about what is poverty and what is affluence. He said in the continuation, he said, and then he asked me about a people of the people of Quraysh. He says, do you know him? And he said, yes, O Messenger of Allah, I know him. Abu Dharr said, yes, I know him very well. He's a famous person. So he says, how do you suppose he is? Or what do you think about him? What do you think about him? What is your opinion about him? And he said, إِذَا سَأَلَ أُعْطِي وَإِذَا حَضَرَ أُدْخِلْ. He says, if he asks for something, he will be granted. And if he wants admittance, if he knocks on someone's door, if he says something, people listen. If he knocks on someone's doors, he will be granted entry. But he is a person of renown in his community. A person from Quraysh. Right? So this is who that person is. Well respected. Right? So today, for instance, you know, subhanAllah, sometimes I'm amazed that sometimes celebrities talking about political things and economic things, right? Actors and singers, and but we listen to them. So that's the type of person, right? Right? That if he talks, people listen. I don't know why we're listening, but we listen. If he talks, people listen. If he wants to, he sits with presidents and kings and, right? And UN officials. But he's just an actor. Why, subhanAllah, why is he discussing these important matters and he's just simply an actor? Right? That's the world that we live in. So he's talking about this person. How is he? He says he's this kind of person. Well respected. Wants to go, wants to say, everybody will listen, everybody will open their doors to him. Then he asked me about a person from Ahlul Suffa. A person from the people of Suffa. These are the people who used to live in the masjid. The back side of the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, that's their only residence. They didn't have any other place to stay. Do you know so and so? I said, I don't know him. He said, he continued to describe him, until I knew him. He said, Ya by Allah, ya Prophet of Allah, wallahi, I know him. Yes, I know him. He says, how about him? What do you think about him? He says, a poor man from the people of Suffa. And in other words, nobody. He's a nobody. Nobody knows. He didn't know him. Abu Dharr didn't know him. Abu Dharr is poor himself. He didn't even know him. So he's a poor man. You know, I think in another narration it says, you know, if he's going to ask for something, no one will give him. If he knocks on someone's doors, no one is going to open that door. If he talks, nobody listens. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ says, this person is better than that, the earth's fill of that other person. This person that you don't know from the people of Suffa is better than that earth's fill of that other person. That is, if you were to take this earth and fill it, it's not just 1, 2, 10, 20. Take this earth, fill it with that other person, this one single person would still be better than that other person from Quraysh. And that's amazing. So there's a judgment and there's a judgment. There's a judgment that masks another judgment, the truer judgment behind it. What judgment that says, this person is respectable and this person, nobody knows him. This person should be listened to, this person shouldn't be listened to. The other judgment says, this person is worth nothing compared to that other person. Yet no one knows. So this is what helps us to be content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and place Him in our heart and have that ghina al-qalb, meaning that it doesn't really matter how much I have and what people say about me and whether they know me or that or not, whether they listen to me or not. Right? I always talk, I give ideas, nobody listens to my ideas. It doesn't really matter. What really matters is your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. And if that is fine, everything else, as I said, is incidental. People want to take from you, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Want to listen to you, Alhamdulillah. If not, it doesn't really matter. And having this rich heart, right? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, it protects you from the fluctuations of this life. It's like it gives you immunity, right? It's that type of living heart, healthy heart, strong heart that is not harmed by the fitna. Remember we talked about the heart that will be so pure and white that no fitna will ever harm him. Remember back in some hadith back, we said that. So he is saying the same thing, right? Repeating the same thing about this rich heart. Meaning that if you possess it, whatever happens in this dunya, you don't have to worry about. Allah takes care of you. And your knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will carry you through it. But also having a rich heart gives you something in this life, gives you rizq, provisions in this life. Having a poor heart takes away that provisions from you. And I will cite here a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he says, يَقُولُ رَبُّكُمْ يَبْنَ آدَمْ تَفَرَّغْ لِعِبَادَتِي أَمْلَأْ قَلْبَكَ غِنَى وَأَمْلَأْ يَدَيْكَ رِزْقًا يَبْنَ آدَمْ لَا تُبَاعِدْ مِنِّي أَمْلَأْ قَلْبَكَ فَقْرًا وَأَمْلَأْ يَدَيْكَ شُغْلًا. He says, child of Adam. So he says, child of Adam, dedicate yourself to my worship, and I will fill your heart with richness. You'll be satisfied on the inside. So this is the key. You'll be satisfied on the inside. And I will fill your hands with provisions. I will provide for you. So two things will happen. Dedicate yourself to my worship. And of course, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't say 24/7 be in the masjid. He's not saying that. Right? None of the Sahaba understood it this way. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself did not understand it this way. But worship me. Put that first. And he says, your heart will be satisfied and your hands will also be satisfied. Physically and spiritually you'll be fine. And I will take care of you on both ends. Child of Adam, don't put a distance between you and me. Don't run away from me. If that happens, I will put poverty in your heart. And you will fill your hands with busy work. Busy work meaning that you'll always be busy doing something, producing little, if anything. So on the first, you know, part, the heart is not enough. The heart is never satisfied. I want more because the heart is filled with poverty. Because I'm away from the source of that richness, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he says, don't put a distance. You put a distance, you lose that richness that comes from Allah. So don't put that distance. But something else is going to happen. You'll always be busy. And whatever you're doing is not enough. You say, where is the money going? There's no barakah in that money. There's no barakah in what I'm doing. There's no happiness in it. I'm always unhappy with it. Family is always unhappy with it. Why? Poverty in the heart. And you're always busy. Right? Whereas the other person, Allah may put barakah in what they're doing. They may work little and earn a lot. Or earn enough and be happy with it. And that's the sign of being truly rich in this life. To be happy with what you have. Right? To be happy with what you have. The dunya, on the other hand, we think that it's going to satisfy us. And there's really a beautiful saying here I'd like to share with you. It's attributed to Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam, but it may not actually be his saying. But anyway, in the books it says, قَالَ عِيسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. He says, the one who seeks the dunya, the seeker of the dunya, is the one who drinks from the seawater. The more that he drinks, the thirstier he gets, and it kills him. Right? So if you're actually thirsty, right, you shouldn't drink any water from the sea. Why? Because the more that you drink, the thirstier you are. And you'll keep drinking until it kills you. He says the dunya is exactly the same. Your heart is attached to it and you're seeking it and you're seeking only that. You'll never reach an end where you will say, I'm happy. So he says, remember that salt water. He says you'll drink it and keep drinking and you keep drinking. And you keep taking more and more of this dunya and every little bit of it is killing you. And you don't notice that it's killing you. But like the person who's drinking from the sea, it's killing him. Eventually it will. And that person will be pronounced dead. Either physically dead or spiritually dead. That's it. It's done. So that's the danger of seeking so much of the dunya. And last thing, inshallah, I want to mention two points. Is that, is faqr, material or physical poverty, is this something that we should seek? And should I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be poor? Right? Or should I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, to make me faqir? And here, It's true that at the time of the Prophet ﷺ and most of the life of the companions, they did endure poverty. Faqr. Were they really in need? And a lot of times, or many times, these needs went unmet. They were hungry and they didn't have enough, thirsty and they did not have enough, right? That is true. And here is an example here also. It's also beautiful to keep in mind, just to first to understand the extent of sacrifice they had and how much we really haven't lived the life that they've lived and haven't sacrificed the level of their sacrifice. When people used to pray with the Prophet ﷺ, some of the people of Suffa, remember the Suffa, the people of Suffa we described, the people who lived in the masjid were very extremely poor. They'd be praying behind the Prophet ﷺ, and some of them would faint in the salah because of how poor they were. They didn't have enough food, so they would be fainting. To the extent that the Bedouins who would be coming and visiting the Prophet ﷺ, when they would see this, they would say, these are crazy and insane people, right? Maybe possessed, because they keep falling. Maybe they don't have enough to just sustain them while they are praying. So the Prophet ﷺ, when the salah would be over, he would go to them, right? Maybe after they've woken up, would go to them and he would said, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا لَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَحْبَبْتُمْ أَن تَزْدَادُوا فَاقَةً وَحَاجَةً. He says, if you were to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for you, you would love that you would be poorer and in more need. And they had nothing. Right? Sometimes only the clothes on their back. That's the only thing. And sometimes they would say, it would be hardly just enough to cover their awrah. That's how little they have. And fainting because they don't have food. And the Prophet tells them that if you know what Allah has for you, you would wish that you would be even more poor and would be more in need. So this is something that was, Allah had given it to them, or had given it to the Sahaba, had given it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they went through it because it purified them and purified their intention, so that it only stays for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not doing it for the dunya anymore. But the thing here, do we have to ask Allah for it, or is this the best path? You will not find in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam where the Prophet is saying, Ya Allah, make me poor. Because that is also a fitna. Being poor is a fitna. And I want to hear, I'm emphasizing that so that we have a balance, inshaAllah. It's a fitna to be in need. And not to find enough to satisfy your need and the need of your wife and the need of your children, and to have to go to someone maybe and ask them for a favor. That could be a fitna. And in fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, "Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wal-faqr wa min 'adhab al-qabr." Ay Allah, I seek your refuge and protection from kufr, disbelief, and faqr, from poverty, and from the punishment of the grave. In the morning, in the evening, that's part of the du'a, and also after the salah. So we'd seek refuge from it. So it's not necessarily to be poor in need. That's not the status that we are recommended to seek. Some statements from the Salaf, you know, to explain that it's not about what you hold with your hand, but it's about your heart. Right? So they asked Sufyan al-Thawri, can the person be a zahid? You know what zuhud is, right? A zahid, detached from this. Can he be a zahid and have money at the same time? He said, na'am, idha ibtuliya sabr wa idha u'tiya shakar. He says, yes, he can have money and still be a zahid. Where if he is tested, he is patient. And if he is gifted with something, Allah blesses him with something, he is thankful. He says, if that's the case, yes, he is still a zahid, though he has money. Another statement from Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who's a great zahid. He said, we asked him, can the person have money and be a zahid? He said, "Na'am, in kana la yafrahu bi ziyadatihi wa la yahzanu bi nuqsanihi." That's a little bit more difficult, right? So he says, can he be a zahid and have money in his hand? He says, "Yes. If it goes up and increases, he's not happier. And if it decreases, he's not sadder." Meaning what? His heart is not there. He's not in the money. Where is his heart? With his Lord with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His heart is watching Allah. So if Allah gives it, he's not happier. Now of course, if you're doing some business and it succeeds, it naturally comes, right, that you're happy that your efforts have yielded something. That's something different. That's a natural feeling that you have. You can't avoid that. But it's not about money. So he's saying whether the money goes or whether the money comes or stays or whatever happens to the money, his heart is not there. His heart is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when his heart is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can be with, like the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Uthman and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. The Prophet says, give, and he says, here it is, Prophet of Allah. He can be like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. That's very difficult. He says, give. He says, this is all of my money. And he doesn't think twice about what I've left to my family. It doesn't really matter. His heart is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a person, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who doesn't care about money. Whether it's more or it's less, it does not affect his emotions. His emotions are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Now later inshaAllah, when we talk about another hadith, and this is a hadith I think number 11, we'll talk more about the preferred state. And that is the state of kafaf, of having enough. Not more, not less. That's the state that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed for his family to have. Allahumma ja'al rizqa ala Muhammadin quta. Ya Allah, make the sustenance and the provisions of Al Muhammad qut, meaning enough for them. Enough so that they don't have to ask anybody for anything, but they don't have extra. That's what he prayed for them. We'll talk more inshallah about it later. But the last thing I want to mention is the last part of that hadith, which is ash-shuh. He says, you're not going to be harmed by anything of this dunya if you are rich in heart. You're not going to be benefited by anything of this dunya if you are poor inside. The only thing that harms you is your shuh or greed on the inside. So here, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is really stating a very important fact. Anything on the outside doesn't matter. If you're okay on the inside, what's on the outside doesn't harm you. Right? It doesn't. You don't have to worry about it. And if you're missing something on the inside, everything on the outside cannot help you. People, money, medicine, it doesn't help you. Medicine, relaxation, it doesn't help you. The only thing that can harm you and benefit you is the state of your heart inside. And the only thing, that thing that he identified in terms of affluence and poverty here is ash-shuh. This is the thing that matters. Your greed or your avarice, your desire, your cravings. This is the thing that matters. If you have it, your heart is poor. And if you don't have it, your heart is rich. And there will be another hadith inshaAllah where we'll be talking about shuh in more detail. The whole hadith will be about shuh. But for now, shuh means to desire more and more and more and never be satisfied. That's the definition of poverty. Never be satisfied with anything. Right? And this person who has shuh will always be unhappy and sad and miserable, because nothing is ever enough. And if the person is able to treat that shuh and become content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will possess that rich heart, or on his way to possess that rich heart. Because now, he doesn't desire beyond what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. And what Allah has given him is enough. And that is the definition of a rich heart and true happiness in this life. This is it. So you focus not on the outside. Nothing on the outside is going to make me happy or sad. And again, that's also something that is very difficult. It's not what's on the outside that is going to make me happy or sad. It's what's on the inside that really makes me happy or sad. And I'll conclude by, you know, a statement that, you know, is always as amazing to hear, you know, from Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, where he says, what can my enemies do to me? My Jannah is inside my heart. They can put me in jail, that be a praiseworthy seclusion. Right? where I can be alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can do whatever they want to me. Where is my Jannah? It's inside. And that's what's amazing. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the state where our Jannah would be on the inside, where whatever happens on the inside, outside does not matter, and to give us a rich heart and to protect us from the poverty of the heart. Jazakumullahu khaira for listening. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.